It's good to be with you again today. This is Mark Lager, Bethany Baptist Church, filling in for Pastor Jeremy Chisholm. As we continue to open the book of Genesis and see the gospel unfolding in this first book of Moses. Genesis chapter 15. The story of Abraham. Truly, the story of any sinner that comes to walk with God reminds me of David's words in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Wonder of wonders, God is mindful of man, and he does visit man. He has made known his dealings with men through his word. And in God's dealings with Abraham, we see the only hope of every sinner to ever walk the earth. Now, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6 says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, if you were to turn to the Scriptures, turn anywhere in the Scriptures, where could you find the gospel expressed any better in a single sentence? Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, Jehovah, and Jehovah counted Abraham's belief for righteousness. What is the solution for our sin? God had come to the end of his patience not very many generations before Abraham, when he destroyed men from off the face of the earth because of their rebellion to him and to his law. Unless God restrains man, man only expresses his hatred for God and for God's moral law. Abraham and his generation were no different than ours, though the men of old lived longer than us. Truly, it is God's restraint that shortens man's day. He does not have the time to express his disdain for God and his truth, as the men of old did. But Abraham and his generation were no different than our generation. But God, the God of the Bible, is ever a God full of mercy and grace. We see in the story of Abraham, as God reveals to us more of the detail of the gospel that we first learned of in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. In those early chapters of Genesis, we glean just a few small handfuls of gospel truth. Those gleanings are not only rich, but also essential to a right understanding of God's dealing with men through the death of his son. What then is new, or what is added to that which we already know? What more would God have us to know concerning this gospel message? Now, in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, he spoke to Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." It was not new that God spoke with men, for he had spoken to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. God had spoken to Cain after he murdered his brother Abel. And Noah, finding grace in the Lord's eyes, moved with fear to the building of the ark, did all that the Lord commanded him to the saving of his own family. God speaks to men. God spoke to men in this time. Sometimes he spoke to them verbally. We don't know all the details, but he spoke to men. Sometimes he spoke to men in dreams and visions, but he always speaks to men through his word. He reveals himself through his word, through his son. These incidents we are familiar with, God communicating his will and purposes with men. And though man in his natural state balks at the will of God, still God in his mercy intervenes in the affairs of men. We do know God communicated with men in these early days, the history of the earth. And it is through God's dealings with Abraham that we see the next great gospel truth made known. God promised to Adam and Eve that he would crush the serpent's head through the woman's seed. The Lord also took the life of an innocent one to give them a sufficient covering, for that which they made for themselves of the leaves was not sufficient. Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain, Cain offering the fruit of his labors, the work of his hands. But Abel, a lamb from the flock, having no confidence in his own works, trusting in the promise of God that a substitute would one day be sent on his behalf. And to Noah, we see that grace is triumphant over the all-encompassing wickedness of men through the just judgment of God upon unrepentant sinners. His thorough and complete mercy and truth go before him. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It is through God's dealing with Abraham that we see the next great gospel truth made known. So we read our text again, Genesis chapter 15. It is verse 6. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord. And he, Jehovah, counted it unto Abraham for righteousness. God counted Abraham's faith for righteousness. He considered him to be righteous. He reckoned him to be righteous. He declared him to be righteous, though Abraham still very much a sinner. God imputed righteousness to Abraham. This, then, is that first great declaration of imputed righteousness. Man claims that he has some righteousness within him, that everybody has a little spark of divinity within him. Man declares everyone his own goodness. And there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Oh, but the end thereof is death. All around men declare themselves righteous. Oh, or at least good enough. You can go to those that men would call the dregs of society. Those who live openly and even eagerly in their sin, drunkenness and whoredom and whoremongering, drug addiction and gambling, filthy-mouthed and irreligious, rebellious against authority. You can go to those who live in such a fashion and you will find on their lips, it's not hard to find at all, well, I'm not such a bad person, or, well, we're good people. You can also go to those that men call the pillars of society, the rich and influential, the respectable, those who are morally respectable in our society. And you will hear them say such things as, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm really not all that bad. Oh, man claims his own righteousness, but man's only hope. And I say man's only hope to escape the wrath of God is found in our text today. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord. And he, Jehovah, counted it unto him, unto Abraham, for righteousness. Abraham believed that truth that God had revealed to him, and God counted Abraham's belief to Abraham for righteousness. He considered him to be righteous. Your hope, your only hope, your sure confidence is to believe that which God has revealed in His Word, not your righteousness, not your goodness, but in that which God lays to your account because of the righteousness of His Son. It reminds me of the hymn by Edward Mote, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. when he shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. My righteousness, my goodness, your righteousness, your goodness, your effort to do that which is right and good will be of no avail in the judgment day. For the Scriptures tell us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Would you walk with God? Do you know that which Abraham enjoyed? For he believed in God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Would you be accepted in the eyes of God and trust only in his promises for the eternal well-being of your soul? Thank you for listening today.